Explanation of the surah. Ya ayyuhal muddassir, qum fa anzir. O ye enfolded in the shawl, arise and warn people. The words muddassir and muzzammil are synonymous. The latter is from dhisar and refers to a shawl which a person uses to cover himself while sleeping. As I have explained in the exegesis of the previous surah, covering oneself with a shawl is a symbol of being pensive and worried. The experiences of divine contact which the Prophet Muhammad went through at the beginning of his prophethood were in themselves very onerous. When he mentioned these experiences to his family and they started to make fun of them, his worries increased. In these circumstances, he would wear his shawl and mostly remain in seclusion the way a worried person behaves. To alleviate his worries, the Almighty lovingly addressed him as Muzzammil and Muddassir, so that this address could be a source of comfort for him. It shows that the Almighty is well aware of his circumstances, and when he has addressed the Prophet Muhammad in such an affectionate manner, then he will surely alleviate his worries. Consequently, in the previous surah, he was addressed by the title Muzzammil and asked to stand in prayer by night. This, of course, was meant to be a cure for his worries and also a preparation for a new assignment which would be later spelled out to him. The words Qum fa anzir spell out this new assignment which was referred to in the previous verse by the words Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela. He should arise and with full determination and resolve warn his people and not worry of the opposition, resistance, nor of the adverse and alien circumstances he was facing. If he takes up this task with grit and endurance, the Almighty will ease the way for him and strengthen him with his special divine help. I have already explained in the previous surah under the words Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela that these words refer to the obligation of delivering open warning to his people mentioned in this surah. Generally, people have interpreted the expression qawlan thaqeel to mean divine revelation itself. However, divine revelations had already begun. So, what was the reason for saying, I shall soon reveal to you a heavy word? On the other hand, the obligation of inzar or warning was no doubt a burdensome directive. It was not at all easy to sound the message of Tawheed in the ears of the leaders of Mecca and Taif, and that too with the claim that he was a messenger of God, and that if they denied his open warnings, they would be grievously punished. It was but natural for the Prophet Muhammad to become apprehensive of such a heavy responsibility. Consequently, in the initial period, he confined his preaching to his immediate family. To them too, he only communicated certain observations and experiences of his prophethood in order to elicit their reaction. This reaction, in fact, was of great animosity. Thus, in this period, he would often remain very anxious and worried. The words Muddassir and Muzzammil portray this very state of his. The purpose for which the Almighty had sent him had to be fulfilled at all costs. So, he was directed first in Surah Muzzammil to prepare for this situation, and then in this surah he was directed to fully embark on the mission of extending his sphere of preaching and deliver warnings to all the people around him. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and proclaim the greatness of your Lord only. This is the first directive of Inzar referred to earlier. The belief of Tawheed or monotheism has formed the basic ingredient in the preaching mission of the prophets of God. This meant the proclamation of God's greatness and exaltedness alone. Since the object of the verb in this verse has been placed before the verb, it has resulted in specifying this declaration for God only. In other words, whoever other than God claim greatness or whose greatness is claimed by others are all false and baseless. The Prophet Muhammad should only proclaim the greatness of God. In the Jahili society of Arabia, this declaration was no less than inviting the wrath and anger of the whole society. However, since the foundation of religion is on Tawheed, every prophet was required to openly declare it without showing any hesitation. وَثِيَابَكَ فَالطَّهِّرْ, and cleanse the apparel of your heart. The word thiyab is a plural of sob and means cloth. However, it can also refer to the heart. In fact, a study of classical Arabic shows that this word also means the heart's apparel. Imrul Qais has said, وَإِن تَكُ قَدْ سَاءَتْكَ مِنِّي خَلِيقَةٌ فَسُلِّي سِيَابِي مِنْ سِيَابِكِ تَنْسُلِي. If any of my actions has upset you, then separate your heart's apparel from mine, and you will be separated from me. In this couplet, the poet has used the word siyab to connote the heart, and this meaning can only be taken when it is metaphorically understood to mean the heart's apparel. Imrul Qais has also said, siyabu bani Auf tahara naqiyya. The hearts of Bani Auf are absolutely clean. While keeping this meaning of the word siyab in mind, the verse would mean that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam should declare the greatness and oneness of God without any fear. However, much as his opponents may force him and make various excuses, he should not let the slightest trace of polytheism contaminate his heart. It should remain clear that the Quran in very explicit terms has called the polytheists filthy and polytheism filth. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been given this directive because in the later phases of his mission, the leaders of the Quraysh presented a compromising formula as per which they would accept all what he said on the condition that he agree to regard some status to their deities. However, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphatically rejected this demand, and he was also directed by the Almighty that Tawheed is the basis of religion and that he should not compromise in any way in this matter. Verses such as Waddu law tudhinu fayudhinun and other similar ones refer to this very aspect. In the verse under discussion too, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been categorically told to strictly adhere to Tawheed. In other words, by addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and giving him this directive, it is actually the idolaters who are told that polytheism is such a filth that a messenger of God does not even tolerate its slightest trace. وَرُجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. The words rujz, ridz and ridz have very similar pronunciations and are also similar in meaning. The word rujz is used for filth which makes a person feel abhorrence and disgust. It can refer to every type of filth, but here it specifically refers to the filth of polytheism, and the purpose is to stress what is said in the previous verse, وَثِيَابَكَ فَتَّهِرْ, or and cleanse your heart's apparel. This directive was not required to be given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because there was no chance of him being involved in it in any way. Just as he remained a staunch and pure monotheist after becoming a prophet, there was not the slightest trace of polytheism found in his beliefs even before this. The objective was to communicate to the disbelievers and idolaters that the warner who had come to them had a very definite stance on polytheism and that he had other very clear injunctions from his Lord. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. And do not discontinue their endeavor regarding it to be more. Just as the word mannun means to do a favor to someone, it also means to cut something. In Surah Qalam, the words used are إِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ, or and indeed for you is a reward unending. The implication of the verse under discussion is that he must continue with the preaching and warning mission he has been asked to undertake and not discontinue it thinking that he has done it to a great extent and that it was not required anymore. He should carry on this divinely assigned task and only discontinue when the Almighty tells him to do so. Grammatically, the word tastaksir is not the response to the negative sentence. Had it been so, it would have had a jazm. Though some reciters have read it with a jazm, however, since the mutawatir recital is that of dhamma, hence I would prefer to read it thus and have interpreted it with a dhamma. In such a case, the word should either be regarded to be in the capacity of an accusative of state or hal, or an independent sentence. In my opinion, it is the former. The word istikthar generally has two meanings. Firstly, to do something a lot or to want something a lot. And secondly, to regard or reckon something to be a lot. It is used in the first meaning in the following verse. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَأَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ Or, had I possessed knowledge of what is hidden, I would have availed myself of much that is good. And lexicographers have explained the second meaning thus. The expression istakthara shay means to regard or count something to be a lot. The author of Aqrabul Mawarid has stated the second meaning first. In my opinion, in the verse under discussion, it denotes this very meaning. The verse, as pointed out earlier, would therefore mean that the Prophet Muhammad should continue to discharge the responsibility of warning his people without any break and should never suspend it thinking that he has done a lot and that it was not required anymore. This directive has been given because the divine law about a messenger's responsibility of warning his people is that if his people remain indifferent to it, then after giving them respite for a certain period of time, the Almighty necessarily destroys them. I have explained this law at many places in this tafsir. As per this law, this time is given to them so that the truth is communicated to them to such an extent that they are left with no legitimate excuse to deny it. And only the Almighty knows how much time should be granted to a people for this purpose. The obligation of the messenger is to continue to communicate the truth and warn them of the grave consequences of denying it until the Almighty asks him to stop and tells him that he has completed his task. Now he should consign their fate to God and migrate from that land. If a messenger decides to migrate on the basis of his own assessment that he has completed his assignment, then there is a strong chance that he might end up wrongly assessing the situation and make the same mistake as the Prophet Jonah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. He was rebuked by the Almighty for this decision, and after putting him through a severe trial, he was sent back by the Almighty to his assignment with his people. It was after he resumed this assignment and continued with it that the Almighty blessed all his people with the urge to accept faith. In order to protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from a similar expression of haste, the Almighty in the very first phase bade him to carry out without any break his divinely appointed task of warning his people. He should never decide for himself to discontinue this responsibility thinking that he had done enough. In other words, this decision must not be taken by him. It has to be taken by God. Thus, verses such as فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ or So with patience wait for the judgment of your Lord and be not like the companion of the fish. Instruct the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to exercise patience, and here in this surah too, the next verse conveys precisely the same message to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our exegetes have generally interpreted this verse to mean that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam must not do a favor to someone thinking that he will receive a greater favor in return. Although it is possible to interpret this verse in this way, a question arises on this interpretation vis-à-vis the occasion and context of this verse. In the given context and background, what is the need for such advice for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In my opinion, our exegetes have faltered in ascertaining the correct meaning of both words of this verse. My explanation of the first has brought forth its true interpretation. There is no need for any further discussion on it.